League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new frosty swirls and frosty fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo brownie fusion, Pop-Tarts strawberry fusion, strawberry swirl, brownie batter swirl, caramel swirl, and caramel crunch fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC, used with permission.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A new week starts right here, right now. It's a Monday on Football Full Circle. That's FFC live on the Sports Grid Radio Network in Sirius XM. He is Joe Lisi. That's the mastermind of the pigskin. I am Ben Stevens. We are looking back on a Sunday slate and week 13 around the National Football League. Thanksgiving weekend. Hope you enjoyed spending some time with your family, your friends, some fun, some food, and of course, some football. Lisi will look back on Sunday, the marquee matchups that dot the slate, what it means now for those playoff races and the postseason picture around the National Football League. We'll talk some college football later in the show as we enter conference championship week in the sport following that regular season finale weekend that we had just seen. So much to react to and break down today on FFC.
Yeah, I mean, great weekend of college football. Upset City, baby. I mean, changed the whole complexity and landscape of the college football playoff. We'll see how that plays out with conference championships this coming weekend. But the NFL as well. I mean, you look at the matchups that we saw on Thursday straight through yesterday's action, and there's some teams that are starting then to separate themselves and others that got themselves back into the mix for a potential wild card berth.
Absolutely so, Joe. So as we look back on Sunday, let's start with a snowy Sunday night in Western New York between the Buffalo Bills and the San Francisco 49ers. The game rather emblematic of what this season has been for the Niners. Injuries have told the tale of this season for San Fran, and despite a very hot start on the ground, Christian McCaffrey, a knee injury, a PCL injury that Kyle Shanahan told reporters after the game might cost him his season. He missed the first nine games of the season for San Francisco as well. And in the conditions there in Orchard Park, that is always going to favor the Bills. Buffalo victorious, 35-10, covering Joe as a 6.5-point home favorite. Total of 44.5 does sneak by as Josh Allen makes NFL history last night, becoming the first quarterback ever in the history of the league with a passing touchdown. He had two, a rushing touchdown, and a receiving TD in the same game. History for the MVP frontrunner as Buffalo has now won seven straight games.
Yeah, they were just ready for the moment, and they outclassed San Francisco. And even though Brock Purdy was there, it was the offense and defensive lines that took over for the Buffalo Bills. And Josh Allen playing MVP like. He's definitely playing at the highest level of his career, not turning the football over. And that play in terms of Amari Cooper pitching him the pass, right? He is the first player, right, in NFL history to have all three at the quarterback position. So just a dominant performance. We saw James Cook score and take it to the house. We saw others as well. Just a dominant, complete performance. But this will get overshadowed, Ben, with the injury to Christian McCaffrey. And I'll just say this, maybe, just maybe, the San Francisco 49ers have missed their window with Christian McCaffrey. For years with Carolina, he was hurt. They did get a 2 or 3 year window with him where he was, for a majority of the career, healthy. But maybe he's starting to revert back to his old ways.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, Joe. Yeah, it is unfortunate for Christian McCaffrey, who was injured in the final few years of his career in Carolina, has had a relatively clean bill of health, as you mentioned, for the 49ers. Not this year. He will not require surgery, that being CMC, but when it's a multiple week injury to recover from that PCL injury, there's not many weeks left in the NFL season, just five following week 13's Sunday slate. Joe, we'll talk about the 49ers in just a moment. Is their season up in smoke already? But for Buffalo, the win last night, fifth consecutive AFC East divisional crown for the Bills. Some thought, Lisey guy, this was a rebuilding year in Buffalo. So many key contributors offensively and defensively leaving Western New York this offseason. Instead, they're the first team to clinch a division in the NFL. Fifth straight AFC East title, and their quarterback Josh Allen making history last night, and now a minus 230 MVP favorite to win the hardware for the first time in his NFL career.
Yeah, and deserving. And sometimes, you know, Ben, it's not the marquee names. You could put together an A-plus roster of stars, right? But it's a little bit different in basketball as well, where we see it in the NBA. Sometimes continuity and team chemistry matters more than the actual star value, right? This team is playing much more consistent offensively without Stephon Diggs in that lineup. And defensively as well, they've been opportunistic. They're getting after opposing quarterbacks in terms of quarterback pressures and pass rushes, and that's all you could ask for. Very good still against the run as well. Even though last night McCaffrey had success for a majority of the season, they've been an above-average defense. And as long as they have that effort with the best player on the field potentially in Josh Allen playing at this level, who's to say that they can't be the number one seed in terms of the AFC?
And Joe, when you think of a snow game, one of the reasons I tell people, hey, it might not actually be that bad to look at points. Often people think snow, they think cold, they think sluggish, grounded out type of football game. It's more difficult on the defense to make a stop because it hurts a little bit more, a little bit extra sting when you try to make a big tackle there in between the trenches. And the offense knows where it wants to go. The defense has to react. We saw footing be a huge key. Both teams averaged more than 5.5 yards per game or per rush last night in that game in Buffalo. The story for the Bills now is taking advantage of that fifth consecutive divisional crown, and unlike the previous 4 years, Joe, maybe earning a spot in Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans. They reached the AFC title game in 2020. They were beaten by the Chiefs. They have been bounced by the Chiefs in three of the last 4 years. They have been bounced by the divisional round in each of the last three NFL seasons. For the first time this season, the Chiefs are not the favorites anymore to win the AFC. It is Buffalo. The Bills plus 210, 30 cents in front of the Chiefs.
Yeah, we saw this play out, right, where they got the victory in New Orchard Park about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Josh Allen again taking the game over on the ground and deserving right now. I think when you look at both teams, forget the records. Even though Kansas City only has one loss, they're living dangerously week after week after week. You know, just getting by the seat of their pants, and they're not covering numbers. Yeah. On the flip side, you have Buffalo, 6.5, 5.5 point favorite. They win it by 25. They're dominating better teams. Yeah. And Josh Allen, I keep going back to it. We don't see those turnovers where we scratch our head and say, Josh, why did you throw that ball or what happened here? Right. He's playing very clean with the football. And as long as he does that, he puts his team in position to score points and more importantly, win games. And that's all you can ask for out of one of your star players.
Absolutely so, Joe. When it comes to keeping care of the football, something that Josh Allen has struggled with throughout his career, not this season, not turning the football over in large part. Joe, for San Francisco, this Niners team has now fallen to 5-7, two games sub 500. They were the short favorites to win the NFC before the year. And when you look back on it, if San Francisco misses out on the postseason, injuries will be the main reason. Do you give the 49ers, though, any hope to maybe earn a playoff spot or come all the way back to win the NFC West?
I would say no. And the reason why I say that is there's no identity for this team. And their star players, Ben, aren't playing at an elite level. It would be one thing if it was just one of them. It's all of them right now. I mean, Brock Purdy not playing elite. Deebo Samuel, how many turnovers, drop passes? He's not getting involved in the rushing attack. This is not the same San Francisco team that we saw over the past couple of seasons, and certainly not the same one that played and went toe-to-toe with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, especially now with Christian McCaffrey out of the lineup, early on, Jordan Mason picked up the slack. The defense was there. Now, defensive injuries, Bosa, you know, they can't stop the run. They have the Juwan Jennings might be the, I know you laugh, but he might be the most consistent player on offense right now.
There's no doubt about it, Joe, actually, in my opinion. The Niners are not only in the last place spot in the NFC West standings, but now the longest price to win the division. They're 5-7. They're only two games behind Seattle. But the issue being for San Francisco, they're just 1-3 in the NFC West this year. Plenty more from Sunday up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Our recap around the Sunday slate in Week 13 following Turkey Day continues here on FFC. Lisi Guy marquee matchup in the afternoon hours in Baltimore. The Ravens and the Eagles, a battle of the birds. The Eagles win that. Saquon Barkley wins the battle of the backs against Derrick Henry. And the Eagles have won 8 consecutive games to improve to a 10-2 mark. Philly wins outright as a 3-point road underdog in Baltimore. A total of 50 and a hook, the highest of the Sunday slate, stays well under. That Philly defense has traveled very, very well. And when the Eagles have been booked as a dog 3 times this year, Lisi Guy, they won outright in all 3.
Yeah, I mean, plus 138 on the money line. They were live yesterday, and we had talked about it in terms of the pregame. Entering that matchup, they had won 7 straight by 15 points per game, were dominating, and it was because of the defense, not so much the offense, right? We saw them struggle when they lost to Atlanta with Kirk Cousins in the final 2 minutes. There were question marks. They made adjustments, credit Vic Fangio, and credit that defense from learning from last year. You know, last year they fell off a cliff defensively, especially in run support. Very difficult to run on now. They're playing up to their expectations, and they're going to be a difficult out. I mean, hottest team in the NFL right now. I still put them right there with Detroit, even though Detroit won on Thursday night. I still think Philadelphia is right there, 1-1A, because of the playmakers that they have and because of how that defense has been transformed. Yeah. We shall see, but 5 losses for the Ravens now, that is good. That is a huge question whether or not they even make the playoffs. I know they're in the driver's seat, but you have to question yourself right now.
Listen, I still believe that Baltimore will be a playoff team. Where they might not have a chance is in the AFC North, trailing by a game and a half and not having the head-to-head tiebreak currently with Pittsburgh. We'll talk the Steelers in an AFC North battle in Cincy in just a matter of moments. Saquon Barkley again, Joe, more than 100 on the ground and a rushing score. This Baltimore team put up a ton of yardage, but the final score, 24-19, actually looked even a little bit better than we expected because of a late touchdown from Lamar Jackson in a game that was really Philadelphia ahead by 2 touchdowns, at least 2 scores. This Vic Fangio defense, though, has been sensational. It has taken some time. Now they are ready to go. Philly trailed 9-0 at the end of the opening quarter. The Eagles have not been a great team from the jump this year, unlike the last 2 seasons, but then they figure things out. 8 straight victories, Joe, 5 unders in that 8-game span. And for this Ravens team, who has now dropped 2 of its last 3 against the teams from the Commonwealth, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, both games have stayed under, 2 of their 3 unders this season. A huge win for Philly, who has that second best price to win the NFC, only behind Detroit. Second best price still to be that number 1 overall seed. So, Lisi Guy, let's go then from Baltimore to what happened in Cincinnati between the Bengals and the Steelers, that direct tie of AFC North teams. It was a game that Cincy had to have off a bye to stave off any thought that their season might be done and to keep the year afloat. They did not get it. Again, story of the season for the Bengals. An offense that can keep pace with anybody, a defense that just fails to make stops when it matters most. Pittsburgh wins 44 38 outright as a field goal underdog in Cincinnati, a total of 46.5. Somebody's best bet yesterday on Pro Football Today screamed over from the very start.
Yeah, then they got in the first half, and who saw Russell Wilson potentially outdueling Joe Burrow? If I would have told you one quarterback in yesterday's matchup would throw for 400 yards and multiple touchdowns, you might have said it's Joe Burrow because he threw for 27-4 entering that game, and all of a sudden Pittsburgh's offense transformed. That was an atrocious secondary. In back-to-back games, they had allowed well over 30 points, and I'm talking about Cincinnati in back-to-back losses. So, again, they attacked the weakness of the Bengals, and now they're dead and buried. I mean, you know, I do not expect Joe Burrow and the Bengals to rebound in any capacity, even though the schedule might line up. They're done this year, but credit Mike Tomlin. I mean, Russell Wilson, if he plays like that, they could be a legitimate contender with that defense. We'll see how it plays out the rest of the way, but that was a dynamic performance, and now they're 9-2 overall, but more importantly, 5-2 on the road this year.
Yeah, absolutely, Joe. That was the highest scoring game of the season. 82 total points between the Steelers and the Bengals. The highest scoring game in the AFC North rivalry between these two clubs. Russell Wilson's first 400-yard passing game since the 2019 NFL season. He also had three touchdowns. Pittsburgh 9-3. Game and a half lead in the AFC North. The direct head-to-head tiebreak with Baltimore right now. Those two teams will see each other week 16 on a Saturday in late December, later on this month, in just about 3 weeks. But the Steelers, Joe, entered this weekend not as the favorites to win the AFC North after that costly loss last Thursday against the Cleveland Browns. The Ravens falter against the Eagles. The Steelers win outright as an underdog. Pittsburgh now once again minus 160 to win the division.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good price, and they've been the most consistent. Let's call it what it is. You could say on paper Baltimore is more explosive and has better playmakers. You can argue that, but they're 7-5 overall, while on the flip side, you have a 9-3 Pittsburgh team that even though they lost on primetime to Cleveland, they've been the most consistent team from the start of the year, no matter who started at quarterback, to right now entering week 14, and again, they're deserving of that price. Can they maintain that? We'll see. Can they challenge the likes of Josh Allen and Kansas City in a playoff environment? Only time will tell.
That is the question. Pittsburgh, fourth best price to win the AFC now at 10-1. They have not played in an AFC championship game despite consistent success since 2016. They have not won the conference championship in the AFC in nearly a decade and a half since 2010. But speaking of that staple of consistency, yesterday's win outright as an underdog, perfect 5-0 straight up this year for Pittsburgh as the dog, guarantees a non-losing season for Mike Tomlin for the 18th consecutive year, all 18 seasons at the helm. The Bengals now 4-8 since this season, Joe. It is done. Even if they win five straight, I'm not sure it's enough to get them a playoff spot. A disappointing year for the Bengals. That defense cost them. More from Sunday next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
We're live right here on Football Full Circle. We recap the entire weekend of football now in the NFL. The Sunday slate will look back on a rivalry and a hate week Saturday in college football in just a little bit. Joe, elsewhere around the NFL, the Atlanta Falcons, man, whew, lost three straight games now. They have gone under in four straight. And in this three-game skid, Kirk Cousins has been an issue. Yesterday, four interceptions against the LA Chargers as somehow, some way, the Bolts find a win in Atlanta. They probably were not expecting, as Atlanta had 14 more first downs than Los Angeles, ran 31 more plays, had 163 more total yards, and still lost at home as a slight favorite, pretty much a pick'em price. LA wins. They improved to 8-4 in Jim Harbaugh's first year.
Yeah, I mean, defense stepped up for the L.A. Chargers, and that's what you've seen now over, you know, the past few weeks is that, you know, offense is getting more explosive. Defense is starting to make plays and be opportunistic. And you look at the game against Atlanta, and I watched the final, you know, 5 minutes of that matchup. You saw Drake London drop a huge pass inside the 15-yard line on a third down that could have given Atlanta a first and goal type of situation, right? And he drops it flat out on the next play. They don't convert on fourth down, and it's signed, sealed, and delivered. But Kirk Cousins, is this team is exactly, even if not worse, Ben, than it was last year with all of the, you know, with Heinicke and Des Ritter and just the Arthur Smith gaffes throughout the regular season. It's the same team with Raheem Morris. They're terrible defensively. They're not good. They can't run the football consistently when they have to. They don't utilize Bijan Robinson and all the playmakers, and they have a quarterback who's prone to interceptions and doesn't step up. I don't know what more. Why this division, the South, is wide open still. So keep it open. Here comes Tampa Bay and Baker.
Yeah, and they very well might. The only issue being the Falcons swept the Bucs already this year. That could prove to be a crucial tiebreaker. But, Joe, in this three-game skid, Kirk Cousins has thrown an INT in all three games. Zero touchdown passes in the last three to six interceptions. Meanwhile, the Chargers find ways to win football games. They are 8-4 with a cover in all eight victories for LA. Atlanta at home this year, just 3-4 and 2-5 against the spread. So let's now talk the Buccaneers in a crucial NFC South game in Carolina yesterday. And yes, crucial being the right word. Tampa survives in OT 26-23. What a great game for Bryce Young. The Panthers are playing much better football in the last month. Bryce Young connected with Adam Thielen with just about a half minute remaining in regulation. 25-yard touchdown strike. But Baker and the Bucs got the ball back on their own 30 after a touchback with only 30 seconds remaining in regulation. He leads them down the field, sets up a 51-yard field goal from Chase McLaughlin to tie the game, to send it to OT. Chuba Hubbard fumbles in overtime. A big run from Rashad White after a big Bucky Irving day sets up the game-winning field goal from McLaughlin as well. The Bucs have won two straight, Lisey guy. Baker got injured in the game, bounced for a little bit, came back for Tampa as well. They show their resilience. They're now at 6-6. Record-wise, right there with Atlanta. But again, the Falcons do have that season series sweep over Tampa.
Yeah, they're going to have to win out, right? They're going to have to, you know, maybe go on a 4 or 5-game heater to pull out the regular season division. But they're right there in the wild card now, you know, fighting potentially maybe with Washington, that's 8-5 overall. So we'll see. I mean, Baker's a gunslinger, and that offense can really score with anybody. It's been, you know, the injuries that they have dealt with, and obviously, you know, the defense at times a little bit inconsistent. But on the flip side for Carolina, you know, Dave Canales and the reset with Bryce Young has proved to be beneficial. He signed, I believe, until 2026. He just might be now the face of the franchise yet again. I mean, living up to those expectations. Yeah. I mean, you know, 298, he's making his reads. He's making his progressions. Yeah. I'm happy for Bryce Young that he rebounded in a big way.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Joe. Bryce Young, 298 yards yesterday. That game, that go-ahead passing touchdown to Adam Thielen with just about 30 seconds left. A rushing score as well. The Panthers have covered in four straight games. They have won two times in this four-game span. They were 5-18-2. Against the number as an underdog exclusively since the start of last year. Entering this last month, it is a much better brand of football. At least that's how it looks in Carolina. More from the Sunday slate here on FFC up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. So, Lisi, got to tie up the conversation about the top of the NFC South. following Sunday slate in week number 13. Again, the Falcons have the direct head-to-head tiebreaker, sweeping the Buccaneers in the regular season. But both teams are now an even 500, 6-6. And the Bucs have won two straight. The Dirty Birds have dropped three in a row. The Falcons still the favorites at minus 140. But the Bucs not all that far back at plus 115. They would need to have a better win-loss record than that of Atlanta to be able to claim that divisional crown. Elsewhere in the division, Joe, the Saints hosting the Rams yesterday. A big divisional game for both. Mainly for LA, trying to stay afloat in the NFC West scramble as of this moment. It's what the Rams do after being held scoreless in the opening half. They find a way to a win. Puka Nacua, Matthew Stafford, 7-yard touchdown toss with about 5 minutes remaining, or actually with about 8.5 minutes remaining in the fourth and final quarter, gives LA the 21-14 win over New Orleans. The Rams cover as a 2.5-point road favorite. Total in the upper 40s stays well under.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams, again, hot and cold, you know, week to week. They lost that game to the Miami Dolphins. If they would have won that, I would have said sure thing. You know, they're a wild card playoff contender. I still believe that. Again, they grind out a victory, but that offense needs to start opening it up, you know, from the get-go. I need to see Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua right from the get-go, and that offensive line needs to protect Matt Stafford. I know they ran the football effectively with Kyron Williams, but again, in order to go big in terms deep into the playoffs, they need to protect Matt Stafford, and that has been a concern throughout the regular season. They pick up a victory, you know, a quality win. That was a team that had won two straight in New Orleans, battling for an interim coach. So I love Sean McVay. I love the talent, but now they have to kick it up a notch the rest of the way.
Even 500 in the NFC West. Let's talk about that jumbled heap looking for the divisional crown. Of course, the 49ers were a hefty $2 favorite to win the division once again. Entering this season, they're now in last with the worst divisional record and the longest price to win the division. Entering the weekend, Joe, it was the Arizona Cardinals as the favorites to win the NFC West, slightly in front of Seattle. The Cardinals had a lead deep into the second half yesterday in Minneapolis against the Vikings, up 19-6 with about 5.5 minutes remaining in the third quarter. Sam Darnold leads the charge and the comeback. Minnesota wins 23-22 over Arizona. What a victory it was. Sam Darnold for his third consecutive game. Two touchdown tosses, zero interceptions. Justin Jefferson flirts with 100 once again as well. And keep an eye on the Vikings, a 10-2 football team that started a perfect 5-0, lost two straight, now has won five in a row again.
Yeah, five in a row now. Four of them had entering that game were by 6.5 points per game. Very close margins, but it doesn't matter. They were picking up the W. And again, you know, defense carried them for much of the first half of the season. Now it's the offense. The progression of Sam Darnold, you know, clean. We talk about Josh Allen being clean with the football. You look at Josh Allen Sam Darnold last three games. Yeah, 246. 330, and then yesterday's performance with another two touchdowns. And it hasn't just been Justin Jefferson, Ben. Jordan Addison has gotten involved. We saw Hockenson over the past couple of weeks as well. I mean, this offense has playmakers. And you know what? At 10-2, we talk about that NFC North. Look out, because final 6 weeks of the regular season are going to be exciting. Yeah. Minnesota's for real.
For sure. And Minnesota's still very hot on the heels of Detroit at 11-1. Of course, Detroit has the win so far against Minnesota. These two teams will face off once again in the regular season finale. Could that be for the divisional crown? Minnesota covered in its first five wins of the year. Now just 2-2-1 against the spread. But in 10 victories, Joe, 7 decided by a single possession. 8 of the 10 have hit the under. It stayed under by the hook yesterday against the Cardinals. Now, Arizona had won 4 straight. They have lost 2 in a row. Still a pretty good football team. But now they are looking up at the top of the NFC West. That's the Seattle Seahawks, who beat the Cardinals a weekend ago, and then a big come-from-behind victory yesterday against the New York Jets in MetLife. Same old Jets. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers in just a moment. But a big day, Joe, for two former early Jets draft picks. Leonard Williams, the big cat, taken sixth overall back in the first round of the 2015 NFL draft. A 92-yard pick six against Aaron Rodgers in that game. He's a defensive tackle. And Geno Smith, clean football yesterday, 206 yards and a touchdown. Joe, the Jets jumped out to a 14-zip lead, scoring two offensive touchdowns in the opening quarter. They had a kick return touchdown in the second quarter. They led 21-17 as things were getting late in that opening half, only to never score again, for the Seahawks to score 19 straight, and for Seattle to get a victory as a slight road underdog, about plus 110 on that money line.
Yeah, I credit Seattle and McDonald because, again, they maintain their composure. They fell behind by double digits. They cut into the lead right before half. And the biggest thing is they made halftime adjustments offensively and defensively. We saw Kenneth Walker get involved. Once the game got close, once they fell behind 21-7, they got a little more conservative with the game plan and relied more on the offensive line and running the football with Kenneth Walker to really grind out and wear down the New York Jets defense. And Aaron Rodgers has a big mouth when it comes to Tuesdays after, you know, a loss, or Mondays, right? But he doesn't have any answers when his team is, you know, up at the half and they need to make adjustments, right? Interim staff is now starting to glare through as a weakness, because we've seen this throughout the regular season where once they fired Robert Saleh, you want to talk about coaching in-game perspective? This team doesn't have it, and that was a gutless performance. Sorry, they quit in the second half of that ball game, Ben.
No doubt about it. Aaron Rodgers is going to quit at the end of this year, otherwise known as retire. He turns 41 today. Happy birthday, Aaron. Jeff Ulbrich, after the game, was a little bit non-committal about who the Jets' starting quarterback would be moving forward for a 3-9 football team that just clinched its ninth consecutive season with a losing record, longest streak in the NFL, by the way. Ulbrich telling reporters today Aaron Rodgers will remain the starter for New York moving forward into Week 14. They're a 6.5-point road underdog against Miami. It's been a disaster. Woody Johnson is a sham of an owner. This Jets franchise, once again, is going to have to build its way back up from the ground level. It's just been bad for the New York Jets, Joe. There's no other way to try to sugarcoat it for New York, especially with the optimism entering this year. They are now not only going to have a losing record for nine consecutive seasons, but miss the playoffs for 14 straight years. That the longest active drought in any, not just the NFL, any of the four major men's professional sports leagues in North America, including the NBA, MLB, and NHL. That's what happens when you hitch your wagon to a guy that just doesn't have it anymore. Joe, elsewhere, a big win yesterday for Washington. The Commanders had dropped three straight games. Maybe their playoff lives a little bit up in question. They showed that resolve yesterday, blowing out the Titans 42-19, easily covering as a 6.5-point home favorite. Washington now 8-5. They have covered in all eight victories this year. Jaden Daniels, four total touchdowns yesterday. Both Brian Robinson Jr. and Chris Rodriguez Jr. over 90 yards on the ground, each finding pay dirt.
Yeah, I mean, that really set the stage. It was Brian Robinson with a touchdown run. They jumped up early, never looked back. And I talked about it on pregame, is that, you know, as good as Will Levis has played in back-to-back games, right? It was back-to-back road games for the Titans. Do you trust Will Levis on the road with a team that had lost three straight and a defensive game plan and minded head coach in Dan Quinn? I didn't. And they showed that, right? You know, we talk about Bryce Young and Will Levis. I still think Will Levis isn't the answer in Tennessee, and he showed that again yesterday, Ben.
Yeah, he's a little bit costly with the football. Didn't turn it over all that much, at least through the air. Just a Titans team, Joe, that's 3-9, who has not covered in any of its nine losses this season. Either they beat you outright as an underdog, or the game's not even all that remotely close. We'll finish up the Sunday recap before we turn our attention to Saturday next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Two more games around the AFC to detail for you here before we turn our attention to the regular season finale weekend of college football. Joe, a scary scene yesterday in Duval County in an AFC South matchup between the Jaguars and the Texans. Late in the opening half, Trevor Lawrence beginning a slide as he was sliding to the turf. Azeez Al-Shaair for Houston launches and smacks him in the head. A dirty, nasty hit that has no place in football. Al-Shaair was ejected. Trevor Lawrence had to be carted off the field with a concussion. Lawrence did tweet out last night that he was back home and feeling better. That, of course, very positive news. Azeez Al-Shaair taking to social media earlier on this Monday morning to basically just show some remorse and apologize for his actions, which you have to commend as well, saying it is never his intention to play that way. Hard and physical, sure. Dirty, not so much. At the end of the game, it was Houston holding on for a 23-20 win against Mac Jones in the backup role and Jacksonville. Houston did not cover as a 3.5-point road favorite. A total of 45 and a hook stays under. Joe, the Texans are a football team that at this moment, when you look at the win-loss record, they're 8-5, right? Solid record. They're going to win the AFC South because nobody else in this division is going to put up much of a challenge. But the Texans now 3-6-1 against the spread as the favorite this year. They're not necessarily blowing out teams in the way maybe we expected entering this season.
Yeah, again, you know, growing pains with CJ Stroud and that team on paper look like they should run away, you know, in terms of maybe having one of the best records in the AFC. And now we've seen them struggle against, you know, teams, especially on the road. They're, you know, very good at home, but haven't covered numbers. Joe Mixon has been the best player on that offense in terms of consistency. The defense, I thought, would be a little bit better. We saw that performance against Josh Allen where they held them to 9-30. And from that point, it's been, you know, hot and cold. But again, you know, this team makes it into the playoffs. They're still lethal, especially with Nico Collins, Ben. So we'll see how it plays out. You know, I don't think they're as dominant as they were last year. But again, they're getting everybody's best shot, because last year they crept up on people.
Yeah, absolutely so, Joe. And that's why I mentioned what they have done as the favorite, because now that the expectation is there, they haven't largely matched it in much of a way. Outside of that scary scene to end out the opening half, this should have been a game the Texans handled the Jaguars, and it was anything but. Anyway, minus 1250 for Houston to win the AFC South. The only other team, Joe, that's even flirting with an even 500 or winning record right now is Indianapolis. The Colts get a big victory in the clutch yesterday in Foxborough. Again, not as easy as maybe we thought. Indy was a 2.5-point road favorite, so the Patriots do cover. Total of 41.5, skies over. It was Anthony Richardson leading a 19-play, 80-yard, 5.5-minute drive to win the game. 3-yard touchdown pass to Alec Pierce. Shane Steichen makes the correct call, in my estimation, to go for two on the road for the win, trusting in his battering ram quarterback to get 2 yards. AR converts on that two-point try. Indianapolis wins 25-24, Joe, to have any hope of maybe considering a playoff berth.
Yeah, I like the way Indy's playing at times. Now, granted, they lost to Detroit, but Detroit potentially the best team, you know, in the NFL a couple of weeks ago. We've seen Anthony Richardson make plays with his legs, and that's where he's the most lethal. They grind out another victory yesterday. And again, I really like the Colts' big picture with Shane Steichen. But again, you know, they're hot and cold. You have to pick the weeks that they match up in terms of their performances. But as long as Anthony Richardson's healthy and he's progressing in the passing attack, he does have playmakers like Jonathan Taylor, Pierce, and Pittman that can win some games.
Yeah, you just wonder. I mean, it was a great final drive from Anthony Richardson, making plays when they had to happen. But still, Joe, the issue with him is the efficiency and the incompletions. 12 of 24 for 109 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 picks. Did have a rushing touchdown to go along with that 2-point conversion try as well. So that's the state of the NFL on a Sunday. Let's talk Monday Night Football in Mile High before we get to college football up next. Joe, the Denver Broncos, 6.5-point home favorites to end out Week 13 in the Monday Night finale against the Cleveland Browns. 41.5 is the total at altitude. What do you like on this Monday?
Yeah, I like the dog. I like Cleveland to potentially step up and at least cover this number. I know Bo Nix and that offense have been consistent. They won games and won it last week against Las Vegas, and they're in prime position at 7-5 to make the wild card. But I still like Jameis. I still like Cleveland coming off the win against Pittsburgh. They are a dangerous underdog with a veteran quarterback. I'm going to take a shot and take the Browns. Lean to the under, but I might play it from an in-game perspective.
Four starts for Jameis Winston, three overs. Five games for Denver as an underdog. A perfect cover record, 5-0 against the spread. The best favorite team in the NFL entering this Week 13 finale. And not just covering by a few points here or there. Denver is 5-0 ATS as the favorites with a cover margin of near two touchdowns on average per game. Over in four of those five, the only under when Denver has been booked as a favorite a few weeks back against Atlanta, in which Denver scored 38. Atlanta only registered six. So it stayed under by the hook of a total at 44.5. I think Bo Nix has a big night. 220 and a hook is his passing yards prop, a number he has been over in four of the last five games for the Broncos. Joe, even more so, 1.5 passing touchdowns, some plus money to the over for Bo Nix, a number he has had at least multiple touchdowns in three straight in five of the last seven for the Broncos. When the Broncos have been booked as a favorite, there has been a reason. But you have to appreciate Jameis Winston and what he might do to keep this game close. The only thing, Lisey guy, 3-8 the record for Cleveland. Three outright wins as an underdog. Two with Jameis Winston as the starter, but only one cover in any of their eight losses this season.
Yeah, and the cover came last week, so keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out for Jerry Jeudy going back home.
No, I said the only cover in any of their eight losses came a few weeks ago in Philadelphia.
Oh,
but when
they
won outright as an underdog three times this year. Yeah, Jerry Jeudy revenge game. Yeah, but Patrick Surtain knows it as well. Keep an eye on David Njoku's prop tonight. 46.5. College football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Regular season finale Saturday, the final weekend of the regular season in college football, known as Rivalry Week, but also, Joe, as we saw throughout the weekend, Hate Week in a big way. And not just the hate and the passion and the tradition of these longstanding rivalries, but what was at stake this weekend as well. Spots in conference championship games, hopes of reaching the college football playoff. Let's start with not a game, but the game. In Columbus on Saturday afternoon, number 2 Ohio State as a 3-touchdown favorite against Michigan, trying to undo a 3-year losing skid, watching their bitter rivals, the team up north, go to 3 consecutive Big Ten title games. 3 straight college football playoff appearances, a national championship to boot, to stand atop the mountain to end out last year, and as a 3-touchdown favorite, should have been easy to dispatch the Wolverines and get back to the Big Ten championship. Instead, Michigan makes it 4 in a row. 13-10, the Maize and Blue winning outright as a 20.5-point road underdog in the Shoe.
Yeah, that was a Michigan win, wasn't it? Just running the football, playing sound defense, and forcing the game on Will Howard when it mattered most late in the fourth quarter. Davis Warren did enough in terms of the passing attack, did have a critical interception that almost cost the team the game in the fourth quarter. But again, they still ran the football. In all of these games that we have watched play out over the last 4 years, Michigan can run the football on Ohio State, the offensive line has been able to dominate Jim Knowles' defense over the past couple of seasons. And until that changes, I don't think Ohio State's going to win over the next couple of years. And here's the other thing. We talk about in-game adjustments on the NFL side with Mike McDaniel and some of these other gutless head coaches. Same thing for Ryan Day. When's he going to step up?
The answer, Joe, as of right now, is never. He is 1-4 against Michigan. Ohio State still has the third best price to win a national championship. The Buckeyes are going to make the college football playoff. Heck, Ohio State might win a national championship and then have a new head coach next year because they fire Ryan Day. Chip Kelly should go with him because Chip Kelly stared at light boxes from the Michigan defense and still just tried to run it up the gut, not even looking at Jeremiah Smith or Emeka Egbuka or Cornell Tate. It was a pitiful offensive game plan. Pitiful. And if you're Michigan, you risk it all last year to win a national championship. You do. Sure, Jim Harbaugh leaves and most of your roster is drafted. Sure, the NCAA slaps your wrist with a couple of show causes. Who cares? You won a national championship and that will be remembered. You're having one of your worst seasons in a decade this year. But then you have one of the richest guys on planet Earth because his girlfriend went to Michigan. He buys you your quarterback of the future and you still beat the Buckeyes for a fourth straight year. Connor Stallions is smiling right now. How can you not love this Michigan team as that anti-hero in the Big Ten, or at least to Ohio State right now?
No, it was great. It's a great win. And Larry Ellison and his wife, girlfriend Jolene, still trying to find a picture. I can't. I don't even type it in. No, I don't even know if it's his girlfriend, Ben, because his girlfriend's coming up. Yeah. Somebody else on the internet there. International. Yeah. There you go. It's crazy. Good for him. You know, second richest man. There you go, right? I mean, he went to Illinois, and all of a sudden, he's buying Michigan players. I'm unbelievable. But it still comes down. And think about this. Ohio State had the staff. They had the marquee OC in Chip Kelly. They had the marquee DC in Jim Knowles. They had the marquee transfer quarterback in terms of Will Howard, Quinshon Judkins, Travion Anderson. I mean, the list goes on. And they scored 10 points. Who's that on? Yes, that is the testament to what Michigan did defensively and Wink Martindale. But that's all on Ryan Day. They have nobody to look at but himself. We talk about it. In big games, you need to break tendency. You can't go status quo. And in-game adjustments, Chip Kelly, Ryan Day. At what point does Ryan Day see the game slipping, at least take over the play? You got to do something.
Yeah, Ross Bjork, by the way, the AD in Columbus, backing Ryan Day throughout this college football playoff run. Yeah. Because the Buckeyes lose, Penn State handles Maryland. It will be the Nittany Lions and the Oregon Ducks for a Big Ten title in Indianapolis. Texas wins the Lone Star Showdown. They will play Georgia in Atlanta. It is difficult to go into Central New York and win, as Syracuse reminded Miami on Saturday. It'll be the Stangs of SMU and Clemson in the ACC title. Arizona State and Iowa State for a Big 12 title. That's how you do football full circle. Talk to you all tomorrow.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.